Hey there, this is Michael Devolano, the author of Automate and Grow and the host of the Automate and Grow podcast. My guest today is an old guest in the sense that he's not personally old, but this is an old episode that was lost. And I managed to recover it from an old hard drive, so I'm excited because today I talked to Jesse Cole of the Savannah Bananas, and he's the brilliant marketing mind behind that college baseball team and the author of Find Your Yellow Tux. So hope you enjoy this episode. I know that I did recording it, and I'm very excited to have Jesse on as a guest. It was originally episode 42 of the podcast. So here we're approaching episode 100, like a year and a half, 2 years later. So I'm excited that we're able to present this. So without further ado, here's my episode with Jesse Cole of the Savannah Bananas. Jesse Cook, that's why. This is another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. My guest today was nominated to be a guest on the podcast, and it's Jesse Cole, who is the brains behind the Savannah Bananas and the Fan First Way. Jesse, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, pumped to be with you today, and I love the outfit you're rocking today as well.
Well, I couldn't really let you be the only guy with something flashy, so I'm wearing like my favorite kung fu outfit, so I hope that's okay.
First person I've ever been interviewed by wearing a kung fu outfit. So this is amazing.
I figured it would be a first. And since you're all about fans first, I wanted to be an experience first as well. Oh, did you freeze on me?
Love it. Love it.
Oh, you're back. Okay, cool.
For a second, yes.
So Jesse is not only has written a book as well that I've been reading. And thank you for sending me a copy of that, which is Find Your Yellow Tux. And it's pretty hard to notice that you're not, that you are, you know, obviously in a yellow tux. So how did you get started with the yellow tux is what I'm going to start off with.
Well, I first had a team outside of Charlotte, in Charlotte, North Carolina, team Gastonia, which was the worst performing baseball team in the country. No one was coming to the games, no money in the bank account. We were failing. And I realized what business we're really in. And it's not the baseball business. No one was caring about coming to the baseball games. So we shifted. We focused all about being in the entertainment business. So we started having dancing players, grandma beauty pageants. I got in the dunk tank every game. It became a circus. And so literally soon I was like, if I'm going to be the showman on the field, I need to look like it. So I found a black tuxedo with tails, like P.T. Barnum, but I almost melted because it was 100 degrees that first game.
Right.
So I found a lighter one, yellow, started wearing it. The fans loved it. The staff could always know where I was at all times. And now when we bought a new team and expanded in Savannah, became the Bananas, it only makes sense. And, you know, more than anything, I just believe everybody has something that makes them stand out. But we're often too afraid. We're just so comfortable fitting in. And I think, you know, it's the best version of yourself. And I think everyone should stand out. So I own it. I wear it. I have seven of them. I've proposed to my wife in front of a sold out crowd in this yellow tuxedo. And she said yes. And we're still married. So it's a big part of my life.
So all of your success, both maritally and business, is related to the yellow tuxes.
Completely, yes. The only thing, yes, my wife is married to me. It's good. No, I'll tell you, if she could have me take it off, she'd be happy me wearing normal clothes, but she's used to it at this point.
I assume at some point you wear normal clothes.
I do. The days I don't work. No, this is actually interesting. You know, you're involved in sports, and, right. And when you show up to play, if you're really gonna, you're wearing your uniform. And so mm-hmm. For me, I played baseball my whole life. You show up into your uniform. To me, this is my uniform. So for me, it's showtime. Whenever I'm wearing this, it's showtime. So if I'm working, if I'm speaking, if I'm traveling, I'm in this. If I'm just home with family, it's not my uniform. I'm hanging out.
I love it. So part of your success you've highlighted is that you want to create an entertaining environment around sports, like live sports. So what do you think the key to that is? I mean, obviously being true to yourself, but beyond that, like what was your real focus on creating a fan first environment?
Well, it was necessity. You know, when we first came to Gastonia, no one was coming to the games. We were failing miserably. And then we came to Savannah, Georgia, just 3 years ago. There was professional baseball here forever. And just for the listeners to know, we are not professional. We are below that. There's Major League, Triple A, Double A, High A, Regular A, Low A, Rookie Ball, Independent Ball. Then there's us down here. We're college summer baseball. But we have now sold out every single game and have a wait list in the thousands for our games. But it didn't start like that. It didn't start like that. We came in here and we were trying to be like everyone else. I wasn't wearing the yellow tux. I was trying to just market like everyone else. And we were getting results like everyone else. No one cared. It wasn't until we started focusing so much on putting on a show for our customers, becoming the Savannah Bananas, developing a senior citizen dance team called the Banana Nanas, who are literally in their 70s and dance Justin Timberlake and Bruno Mars, to developing a banana band at our ballpark, to this year having the Mananas, our first ever male cheerleading team that's going to be getting the crowd going, breakdancing first base coaches. You know, we did everything to make it about the show. And what I believe is that your customers are your marketers. And we should not be marketing like everyone else. We should put on a great show, a great experience, and let our customers take care of that. And that's what's happened. And before, when I was struggling, my wife and I were down to our last dollar when we first came to Savannah. We actually had to sell our house, empty out our savings account, and we were living on an airbed. This was just a little over 3 years ago, because we were trying to play the same game as everyone else. What are you the only at? What game are you playing? You don't want to be like every other team. And all these businesses, they look at their competition. We don't focus on our competition. We focus on ourselves. We compete against ourselves every day to put on the best experience, to not market like everyone else. So we changed the game for us. And fortunately now there's scalpers outside of our games. It's just ridiculous. Okay. I've never seen anything like it. It's bizarre.
So college summer baseball, are these guys that are planning on going to college, or they're already in college and it's off season?
They're in college. So this is, they want to play professional baseball. That's their goal, to play professional baseball. And we have players that are drafted every single year. But more than anything, our goal is to make it just the most fun, ridiculous experience for them. I mean, in the middle of the games, our players will do a choreographed dance. Then they'll deliver roses to little girls in the crowd. They'll be doing the conga line. They'll go on dates with fans. They'll be in the dunk tank. Our players are completely involved in the show. And I think that's what makes it unique and different. You know, you don't want to come to a game and just sit and watch. You want to be involved in it. And we bring our players to the fans and really involve our fans in the show.
So these are guys, they don't get paid. They're basically there to get scouted, right?
Correct. Yeah, they're scouted. And what I tell them, guys, you may not play professional baseball, but I want this to be the best summer of your life. I want you to never forget the fact that you signed a million autographs and the way you made someone feel at our games. And I think that's what it's all about. Nothing matters more than making people feel like they matter. And I played college baseball in front of 100 fans, 200 fans.
Right.
And I didn't feel like I mattered. These guys are superstars to our fans here in Savannah. And we're very fortunate. We put tickets on sale to single games. We only had a few games available. And people from 34 states bought. We have caravans coming from Texas, New Jersey, Nashville, Minnesota. Buses coming to our games. And it's just wild. And these players are there for them. And that's what we tell. That's what Fans First is all about.
So when you first took over the team, I was reading a little bit about this, but maybe you can provide some color. You know, you were in pretty rough shape, as you stated. How did you get the idea for the Savannah Bananas to start?
Yeah, it was probably the most painful start we could have ever had. And, you know, it's funny, we sold one ticket in our first 2 months. One ticket.
Okay.
No one was interested. But again, every business needs to start. What are the problems in your industry?
Mm-hmm.
And what we realized is that to many people, baseball was long, slow, and boring. And then on top of that, when you go to a sporting event, you name it, most sporting events, you get nickel and dimed. How much are beers at arenas now? How much are hot dogs and burgers? Right. They're outrageous.
It's crazy.
So whatever's normal, do the exact opposite. That's what we live by. So what is normal? A long, slow, boring baseball game where you just watch the game and the players put on the show if they have a good game. We did the exact opposite. We have a script, nonstop promotions every half inning. Then next, you go to a game and it's $8 for this, $6 for this, $8 for this. I said, no, forget that. What's the exact opposite? An all-you-can-inclusive ticket that includes all your burgers, your hot dogs, your chicken sandwiches, your soda, your water, your popcorn, your dessert, everything for $15.
Damn, okay.
So we did that. And the thing is, we came out and we marketed that. And no one cared. We were like, what? No one cared.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't until we created attention. And if you don't have the eyes and ears of your customers, you have nothing. And that's why I believe attention beats marketing 1,000% of the time.
Interesting.
Because what marketing got me was on an airbed, having to sell my house, and literally down to our last dollar. But what attention got us was sold out games. And what I mean by that is nothing happened until we became the Savannah Bananas. Once we became the Savannah Bananas, everyone's like, who is this team becoming named after a fruit? Wait, what? Their mascot is named Split? There's a senior citizen dance team called the Banana Nanas? What's this go banana stuff? They started paying attention.
Right.
And then they started realizing what we're all about. Now, at first, everyone hated us. Like, literally, the name, people were like, this is the worst name. You guys could be thrown out of town. Your owner, this is an embarrassment. The owner should be thrown out of town. It was bad. but we got the eyes and ears. And what a lot of companies do is they play it too safe. They're afraid of criticism. And I think you need to embrace it. So we embraced it. We ran with it and said, this is who we are. If you look here, that is our Dolce and Banana underwear.
I was going to say, those are quite the tidy whiteys with the giant banana on it.
Yeah, that's the big banana. It outsells the small banana dramatically. We sold underwear, Dolce and Banana underwear. We just started doing things that are fun, and it's really paid off, and we're very fortunate.
So part of it is like, it's a pretty gutsy move. You know, I think when you're under stress like that, and as an entrepreneur, because that's what you are, to go out that much on a limb, you probably, I don't know, but I think most people would fall back on what's tried and true, right? Like what they think is to be right. So how did you, you know, have you always taken these sort of risks? Like, where did your branding idea come from? Like, what, the sensibility, was it just like a gut check thing?
Well, I've seen it over and over again. And all these teams, they struggle attendance. They struggle getting people excited. You know, what is a great experience? A great experience is someone that will go home and say, you won't believe what I saw at the ballpark tonight. And I always challenge businesses to say, are people saying you won't believe when they leave your establishment? Because the definition of remarkable is, are your people willing to remark about the experience?
Okay, that makes sense.
So the reality is, like, I knew that people weren't talking about our former team. They weren't talking about regular baseball games. People have seen it all. And the way the attention spans are these days, it's just like from thing to thing to thing to thing. So we were in necessity. We were down to our last dollar, and we said we had to be bold and be crazy. And what do we have to lose? You know, I think a lot of times when you're pushed down to a tough decision, you have to just go all in. And we went all in because we believed in it. But again, let's keep it very simple. Do people like to be advertised to? Do people like to be marketed to? Do you wake up today, Michael, and say, you know what? I hope someone sells me today.
Another billboard.
Yes, another billboard. Right. No one wants that. What people want is they want to feel like they're cared for. People want to be entertained. I believe every business is in the entertainment business. If you're not entertaining your clients, your customers, your own people, you're going to lose. And so we just focused on what would be that most magical experience for our customers and our own people to make them raving fans. And that's what Fans First is. That's the name of our company. It's Fans First Entertainment. We put our people first. So we just felt it made sense. And so for us, it was like, what can we do to make the better experience every single day? And we imagined it from the beginning. I mean, you know, literally this year, we have golf carts. We're going to have our players picking up fans in the parking lot and then doing golf cart karaoke, singing songs coming up to the stadium.
Oh, you know? Wow.
It's just imagining what does that experience look like? And that's what we're doing every day. And I think.
No, we lose you.
How are they making people feel? You there?
Yeah, you stopped and started. Sorry, go ahead.
How are you making people feel? That's what it comes down to. If you're a sports team, if you're a business, design the emotions you want your customers to have, that you want your employees to have. We want this feeling of fun, happiness, excitement. And so we think about it, you know, when they first open our email, is it fun? Or are they just like, this is like everyone else? And so that's how we had to map it. And we were forced to do that or we would have been out of business.
Well, it definitely takes guts, especially when you're under that much stress to, because I think it is challenging, right? When you're like, man, we're at the bottom. Nobody cares if we could just walk away, but you were all in, and to come up with such a concept that resonated with people. Did you have any other concepts that you tested first, or this was like your first sort of?
No, we went all in. I mean, we could have been something normal. We could have been, but that wasn't us.
Yeah, exactly. And I
think what a lot of businesses think, a lot of sports teams think, it's up to the community to actually support us. No, it's your job. It's your reason to give them a reason to support you. You need to do that. And I think we just knew, like, we had to be so crazy now to give them, say, let's pay attention to these guys. So it was our job to do that. That's how we felt.
So if we, in the sports world too, I think there is that, you know, there's like usually a lineup of people that will work for you for almost like nothing just because it's sports. So I think you're right. There's almost like an entitlement attitude of sports teams that, hey, you got to support us. We have your city name or your, you know, we've come up with some sort of logo or mascot and you've got to, you know, team first, but it's hard to do that if you don't have a connection with fans. Right. So I think that's what you've been really successful at, is like establishing something that, well, you probably divided everybody first, right?
Oh, yeah. At first, yeah. And it's okay to be polarizing.
polarizing.
If you try to be everything to everyone, you're nothing to no one. I mean, that's the way it is. And so we were so focused on, you know what? Baseball fans are not going to like us. They're not. Mm. We're not a baseball team. But people that want to have fun are going to like us. And that's what we focused on. And I'm so tired of hearing of people say, the community needs to support us.
Right.
We need to give them a reason to support you. Take care of them. Make it fun. Make it enjoyable. Give them an amazing experience. You know, mm. And that's what we try to do.
So I'm going to share something on my screen here. This is from a hashtag, which is Find Your Yellow Tux, which is also the name of your book. And I received this in the mail as well. So I just wanted to share this. What can you tell us about this picture here with this package?
So again, how our bananas deliver our packages. So we actually have an all yellow box with a big stamp on it that says delivered fresh with the bananas. And then we, inside it, we have a package with yellow tissue paper. We do handwritten notes. And we have a free koozie, free decal, in all of our boxes. And it's just, you know, again, how do you stand out? That costs us more money, a custom box, the decal, the koozie, the time to put in the handwritten letter, but that's what it's all about. It's those touch points. So how do you actually look at every single touch point for your customers? And how do you make it feel like they matter, that they care? As I share, nothing matters more than making people feel like they matter. And I do a handwritten note every single day. I've been writing a thank you letter since 2016. I call it the thank you experiment. That's now gone into 3 or 4 years. But when I get a thank you letter, it means the world to me. And I said, why can't I do that to one person a day? And so our staff does it. Today I walked in and there was about 25 letters written from our staff to different people. And we talk about one fan a day. What if each business looked at one customer a day? Instead of focused on getting all new customers, they start focused on taking care of the current customers they have.
Very interesting.
One fan a day, one letter a day, one text a day, one video a day, selfie video. Those little pieces go so far. And I'm so fortunate to have a group of young people, everyone on our staff, 24 to 27 years old, that understand how much that matters and dedicate their time every day to do it. And, you know, this package right here is, our director of merchandise helped package this. You know, I wrote a letter and they package it together and she takes care of it. And that really matters to us. And I think every touch point should matter to every company.
You know, I think your focus on getting attention and providing a great experience, like you've really focused that on the in-game experience. What role has social media played in your success, or any, if any?
We've developed a video culture. So what I believe every company should have a videographer on hand full time. We were very lucky. We had an intern who was taking pictures for us our first season. He goes, you know, I can do video too. And then he started pumping out these videos. I was like, what are these? These are amazing. And we started really specializing in music videos. So we do music videos with our players, like Can't Stop the Peeling, Justin Timberlake song. And we changed the words around. Wow. We did Bananas Are Back, like a Backstreet's Back, a video last year. Sandlot parodies, Major League parodies, Titanic parodies. It's very simple. Our whole decision filter is it fans first and is it fun? And if we can answer that question, we do it.
I love it.
So there's no other decision filter. A lot of business have to go, can we do this? Can we do this? Can we do this? No, we just have fun. The other day I was throwing underwear at our staff and we made a video, The Show Must Go On. HR would hate me.
I was going to say. Fun.
But, again, I think for us, social media is huge because what we do is we film videos constantly and we're putting them out, not to sell. That is the big key. We do not post videos to sell. We post videos to share the fun, to engage our fans. And like the other day, we had our fan t-shirt design contest. We let all our fans design a new t-shirt. We got hundreds of submissions.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, and we ended up having a vote for the fan. It was over 1,500 votes. You involve the fans in the experience and they want to be a part of it. And for us, social media has been a huge component of that.
Oh, that's amazing. So now I know that you mentioned that you're also talking to other organizations, trying to share your philosophy. What's happening in that area? Like, what sort of businesses are you talking to? Are they all sports teams? Sports teams?
You would think sports teams. Here's the crazy thing. It's not. We're hearing from a wide array of businesses, from, you know, realtors to YMCAs to home construction companies to, you name it. It's a wide, there are people that are looking to deliver a better experience. So what we're starting to host at the stadium is around our games, live workshops that will teach how to map the experience for your customers to create raving fans. And so, as I believe, you know, we need to stop marketing and start putting on a show. And it starts with your people and your customers. So we're teaching that, how to map it. Most companies, they don't think about the first touch point, and they don't think about the after effect of the touch point. They might do a deal and then it's over with. No, that's when you can really do more surprises and delights. So we map that and hopefully give each company one thing, two things they can walk away with and say, we're going to put this into our business right now. And we're going to get our customers to start becoming fans, and they're doing all the marketing for us.
Are there any examples of companies you've worked with and like how this has changed or how they might have applied it?
Yes. One that stands out more than anything is Shoreline Construction. They are a home builder in Bluffton, South Carolina. And I was just giving a keynote speech, and I noticed this one owner in the back just taking furious notes. And I was like, this guy, he's either coming up with something completely different, or I don't know what's going on. And I found it afterwards. The person who put on the workshop said, Jesse, this is about 2 months later, I want you to come in and just listen to this speaker. So I show up 2 months, listen to the speaker. And it's the guy who was taking notes. He goes, I just want to tell you what's happened over the last 2 months. I listened to the fans' first experience. The next day, I took it back to my team. We planned a dinner and we invited all the spouses, everyone, the whole company. And we said, guys, how do we map out this amazing fans' first experience from the first touch point when someone signs up to buy a home to after they get the home and then after that? And so here's what he started doing. When someone buys a home, the first thing they get is a video sent to them with their whole staff. It's like a rap video. Money's flying like this. There's a giant pen. Everyone's dancing. It's this huge celebration. Then they get sent an iPad, a Yeti cooler, a gift package with all their favorite snacks and favorite drinks, because they did a survey earlier and found out what do they all like. Then as they go through the journey, which we map out, they show, hey, we're here at the home site right now. We're pouring the cement. And they got a video. They're showing the progress because everyone wants to know what's the progress of their house.
Wow. Okay.
Then one of the greatest lessons I've learned is listen carefully, respond creatively. And they listened to one of their people said, hey, I'm coming down for my anniversary. I just want to see the house. And they're like, all right, well, just know, as you know, the house is just barely, the frames are barely up. There's no roof. There's nothing else. And they go, that's all fine. We're getting in tomorrow. And they said, okay. They picked them up with a limo, the couple, for their anniversary. They took them to the house, their new house, which wasn't even framed up yet. And they had a dinner. They had a table set up with their favorite meal, their favorite music, and they had lights set up for them to have their anniversary dinner in their not even framed house.
Damn, okay. I mean, that's high touch, right?
So then after that, when they buy the house, when the house is finally ready, they have a full red carpet laid out, they have champagne toasts, and they have a celebration. And months after that, they'll send them their favorite coffee and other snacks, just keeping their relationship going. They don't have to market anymore. Those people that had the anniversary, we found a way to map the fans' first experience. And that's what companies can do if they focus on it. And they don't have to market like they used to. They can just focus on that experience. And what the greatest thing, Michael, is that the entire team now has purpose. They're all engaged. They know they're making someone's day every day, as opposed to just focus on selling people. That's the difference maker. And that's a company that stands out more than anyone.
Well, it's amazing to hear that, because I think when you start listening to how they took that same path where they, you know, maybe it's like extreme ownership of the experience of the customer.
Yes.
They obviously stand out after that. And to your point, people are going to talk and they probably get a ton of referral business, which is always the best business.
Your customers are the marketers.
Right.
And so every day we come in and say, guys, what are the fans' first moments we're creating? And our staff every Friday sends emails on what was something fans first they did and what was something they noticed on the team someone did as fans first. And that's how we do our profit share. Everything's based on fans first. We're so focused on that one thing because it makes such a big difference.
So that's an interesting point, because obviously in order to have this type of experience, it's more than you just wearing a yellow tux. It's you have to have a culture, I assume. What's the most important thing that you've seen there? And you mentioned profit sharing, which is kind of interesting. So I'm curious about how you've structured compensation, especially being a minor, sub-minor team, I guess, like a development team, right? How important is that, and how have you been able to get that culture within the organization?
My wife and I, who would do this together, she started in minor league baseball. She started working for a big, very well-known minor league entity.
Okay.
And was paid $19,000 a year. I started as a general manager running a team. And this was after being an unpaid intern at $27,000 a year.
Wow.
I believe the way sports teams pay is wrong. And we changed that. 2 years ago, we let our staff dictate their own salary.
Wow. Okay.
As crazy as that is, we let them dictate their own salary. And they all asked for anywhere between 20 and 30% raises. We said yes to every single one. It was a huge bet, but what we looked at, it was just a 1 year bet. After that year, we said, all right, guys, now that you're at comfortable base where you want to be, now we're going to share. And we developed a whole profit share system based on this fans first way. How are they living the fans first? Because we know that will drive the business. The more we care for our customers, the more the business will grow. And now we're a year into this and it's booming. But see, the money is such a small part. It's moments matter meaning. How do you create moments that show people how much they matter? Because that will drive deeper meaning. Moments matter meaning. We focus on that. When people start with us, we go all out. It's a celebration, man. We'll have their favorite drinks, their favorite food. We have their pictures up. We go all out. It's a party. And even when someone leaves us, we have a celebration. We'll have a video of them. We'll have everyone. When someone leaves, we'll have every single person writes a handwritten letter. Thank you. We read them out loud. We have a highlight video of everything they've been a part of because we do all videos here. And then we actually have a plaque with all their accomplishments. Because so many people only care for their employees as employees, and they don't care for them as people. And so it's built into our culture. Fans first, the secret of fans first is our biggest fans are our own people.
Right.
We actually care for our own people and employees more than anyone. And then they care for our customers. So it's built into our culture. It's taken a lot of time. We're still learning. We have a fans first director who literally focuses every day on what are we doing to make our experience better for our own people, our interns, our game day staff, our full-time employees. I mean, we've taken them on cruises with their significant others. We let them come on a cruise. We're planning some big special trips. We sent our fans first director on her bucket list trip. She said one bucket list place. If she could go anywhere, it'd be Ireland. She went with her dad. We sent her and her dad a month ago.
No way.
Yeah, because you know whether it's $5,000, $10,000, yes, it adds up. But she will never forget that moment, that memory with her dad. What's more valuable? Are we caring just about the business and their bottom line, or are we caring about our people? And so we will put a big portion of our profits into going back into our people and trips and making sure they feel cared for. And so most companies won't do that until they have a huge amount of profit. Right. If they do it.
Yep.
You got to start, take away some of it, start in the beginning, because that's what builds your success.
I mean, that's an amazing example. And I'm sure it probably scares some people to hear that, but the results are obviously there. I mean, well, listen, Jesse, I want to like be conscious of your time. So I'm going to wrap up with three questions. The first is, how do people get in touch with you and what's the best way to connect?
One of the best lessons I received was I read Mark Cuban's book. I was 25 years old and I read it in one night and I emailed him the next morning. He wrote back within an hour.
Wow.
And I was fascinated by this and I said, wow, imagine if people always responded to people and like that. So I always suggest people to email me or shoot me up a message. I post every single day on LinkedIn, different comments, blogs, videos. But Jesse at Find Your Yellow Tux, easy to find me. If you just search Yellow Tux, I come up. If you search Yellow Tux anywhere on Google, you'll find me. Just reach out and check out what we're doing. And if I can help in any way, that'd be great.
And the book is available at findyouryellowtux.com.
Yep, or Amazon. Yep, or anywhere. I actually did a world book tour at Epcot.
Oh, really? Oh, that's great.
It's a joke. So like I did a world book tour at Epcot. So I went from each country jokingly.
I love it.
Until I got to Morocco and security kicked me out because they said I was confusing the guests as another character because I was in the yellow tux. So I got through six countries on my world book tour, which was pretty ridiculous.
I love it.
Again, whatever's normal, do the exact opposite. And that's what I hope people think about this. It's like, you know what? Let's get over our fear. Let's do something different. Let's do something unique. Let's do something where we have fun because it always, always pays off. And that's why the tux, and that's why, you know, the book is how to be successful by standing out. It's been amazing what's happened over the last few years.
Yeah. I like to see the rewards come your way. So that's amazing. And then, I'm going to ask you how, Jesse, you are changing the world.
People deserve fun. People deserve to be cared for. And we believe people deserve this fans first treatment. So our goal is to bring fans first to the world. And, make people feel like they matter. And make people feel like they can have more fun in their life. I'm so sick of this 9-to-5 that you feel like you have to do this. We need to get away and enjoy our lives. And that's what I'm hoping to do every day.
I love it. What a wonderful answer. I'm going to wrap up with one final thing, which is when we have interesting guests on the podcast, we'd like you to nominate other interesting guests to be a future guest on the Automate and Grow podcast. So who would you, Jesse, like to nominate as a future guest?
I like your approach. That's a there's so many avenues I could go. And I'm wondering, some of my close friends in the business world, how much of them are still doing podcasts? So that's a tough challenge for me right on the spot. You go a lot of ways with this. I will go Michelle Falcon, who is a people first culture. And I know he's been doing some, he just came out with a great book recently. So I'll recommend him.
So is Michelle French or?
No, is up in Toronto, actually.
I was going to say, well, that's my hometown originally. So we keep getting coming. We always meet back up the Canadians. So Michelle Falcon, right?
Yes.
You've been nominated to be a future guest of the Automate and Grow podcast by Jesse. Jesse, I want to thank you so much for joining me. This has been a lot of fun.
Excellent. I enjoyed it as well.
This has been another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. We will see you on the next episode of Automate and Grow.